All right. Welcome to another episode of the PGP Filmcast. I'm your host, Chad. With me, as always, is Tom.
I apologize in advance, Terry. Yeah, you're not going to like my list or the multiple runners up.
And you know, Terry. I accept that, Tom. I always accept that going in. See, the pain is less if you have that acceptance. And, you know,
one of my picks, Chad literally said, I haven't seen that movie in 20 years. So that tells you the deep cuts we're making here.
Yeah. He told me the movie.
you responded positively. Don't lie. You're like, I remember I saw that movie a lot as a kid.
What I think I'm thinking of something else. What? Oh, we'll get to it.
We'll get there.
I asked for
suplex right into
I asked if there is a certain movie on the top five, and he said it was not on there, which I felt relief.
Yeah. White Chicks is a runner's up.
Yeah.
Just to let you know.
Yeah. Spoiler. So
if you think about what could be on there if White Chicks didn't make it.
Wow. All right. So what top five are we talking about here, Chad?
We are doing our top five fish out of water movies. So pretty broad subject. So
very, very broad. That was actually the big problem with it. It was so broad that I didn't even have to look anything up. I just typed my five and was good to go.
Sounds like you put a lot of effort into it. Thank you.
I did.
Look at all that text. I pulled up the synopses of a bunch of mine because I'm going to quiz you guys.
Okay, cool.
So I'm going to read a synopsis and see if you can guess the movie.
And we originally were going to do Blast from the Past, which I think is more traditional fish out of water movie, but Tubi removed it before we could watch it. So
that's a great Brendan Fraser performance, actually. Yeah. He was he plays a great fish out of water character.
Yeah. So if you get the chance, it is a good movie, but I think it's an even better movie, though, with The Man Who Knew Too Little starring Bill Murray, which is totally underrated. If you go on the Rotten Tomatoes, the movie critics did not enjoy this.
Yeah,
it was
37% or something like that.
Yeah, it's like in the mid-30s. And it's like, I don't know what movie they watched, but
I was greatly entertained the whole time. I've always wanted to do that.
And very quotable, like right up there with like Big Lebowski and the late 90s comedies.
Yeah, I actually regard this film very much in the same vein as Cabin Boy, which is I thoroughly enjoy the fact that I'm right about this and the rest of the world is wrong. Like, this is a fantastic movie.
Yeah, Cabin Boy is a fantastic movie as well, which could be a fish out of water movie.
Oh, it's totally a fish out of water movie.
I had to try to limit myself to a certain point, but these pipes are clean.
Leaving you as a Cabin Boy and coming back a Cabin Man. Cabin
Man.
I have a monkey.
David Letterman's appearance in that movie, really, I mean, that was just a performance for the ages.
It was a great cameo. Man, oh man, do I hate them fancy lads.
Oh, wait a second, Sally, come here.
And speaking of late night, it also had Andy Richter.
Oh, that's right. I have not actually watched Cabin Boy for a long time, but I remember it.
I'm Girl Dances. Well, thank you for that, whatever that was. And
all right.
Movie.
Well, we'll talk about Cabin Boy later. So Man Who Knew Too Little, and we're into May of 2024. So we got some new movies that we can talk about. We saw the trailers and, you know, hit and miss, I'd say. There's a couple, though, that look pretty good. So, and probably one of the better ones, if we can just get started, The Fall Guy.
This one looked great.
Yeah, I mean, it's got stupid comedy written all over it, but I'm on board for that.
Yeah, so after leaving the business 1 year earlier, battle-scarred stuntman Colt Seavers springs back into action when the star of a big studio movie suddenly disappears. As the mystery surrounding the missing actor deepens, Colt soon finds himself ensnared in a sinister plot that pushes him to the edge of a fall more dangerous than any stunt. This is starring Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt, and directed by David Leitch, who directed the first John Wick, I think.
Ryan Gosling is great. Yeah. It's not fair. He's handsome and he's an amazing
actor. he's one of those just genetic accidents where I hope every day he wakes up and just thanks the universe for
for he got so what, damn lucky.
He did. Like I want to say fuck that guy, but I like him too much. You know what I mean? So
I could maybe still say fuck that guy, but you know.
And okay, I like him guy. And fuck that guy.
No, yeah. He's an attractive man.
Yeah. He is.
I mean I don't know how much I know of the original TV show. I don't know how much this relates back to that show. Does anyone know?
I have no idea if it's even the same premise. I only heard of the Fall Guy, but I have no idea what the TV show is about.
Same.
I didn't realize there was a TV show. Is this a recent TV show or is it?
No, this is like 1970s.
70s, yeah.
Okay. I don't know. From the trailer, it kind of reminded me of what's the Kiss Kiss Bang Bang with Val Kilmer and Robert Downey Jr. Like kind of a real murder mystery around a movie set.
Okay, so the Fall Guy, the TV series, was 81 to 86, so we were close.
Oh, I missed my guess, all right.
The briefs, and I thought it was 70s as well. The brief synopsis is the adventures of a film stuntman who moonlights as a bounty hunter. So I'll say, sounds like tangentially related.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because I mean,
there's no bounty hunter in the film, as far as I can tell.
No, he's just trying to find the actor that disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Well, why send me? Well, we won't miss you.
Hunter-esque task. I mean, you know. Yeah. But honestly, who gives a shit if it relates to the TV show or not?
Well, I will say, though, that The Fall Guy was a huge bomb. It did not do well at the movie theater. Because we are a little bit into May here, so.
Oh, this is in the theater?
This is already in the theater.
Oh, I want to see this.
And that's largely my fault, so I apologize to...
No, it was already...
I delayed it once because of the kid concert, which got rescheduled.
It was already out then, so...
Okay.
Yeah, this came out like May 3rd.
Chad's fault.
I think we're never going to make it. Somewhere around like 8 or 9 listeners, so... Yeah. I apologize.
I haven't pulled up the download numbers. We'll look. If we want, I can expose this to the magic world. And I've had a few people ask to listen to the movie podcast.
Yeah, if they want to listen, go for it. Hi, magic guys.
There are far better movie podcasts that we could recommend, but we appreciate you choosing ours.
Oh, no, you're never going to get a more intensive list of B-horror movies or really, really bad fish out of water movies starring ex-professional basketball players.
It sounds like overall we're kind of all on board for The Fall Guy, even though it's bombing at the theater.
Yeah. No, it looks pretty good. I saw the trailer around Christmas, as I think when I first saw this movie, like trailer for the movie, it looked pretty good. So I like Ryan Gosling, I like Emily Blunt, and the director, if it's the one that I think it is, directed the Charlize Theron, like 80s, like Cold War movie. What was the name of it? Atomic Blonde. And that was a good movie, too. So,
okay, I missed that.
It's more serious than this. But next up, though, it does not look good.
No, this looks awful.
Yeah. Tarot. Friends unwittingly unleash an unspeakable evil trapped within
a cursed... Never use another person's deck of cards, Chad.
A cursed deck of tarot cards, one by one. They come face to face with fate, racing against death to escape the future foretold in their readings.
They literally just like, this is the monster on the card. I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
What if they had the tarot, what was the late night tarot reader in the late 90s? You'd call in Miss Cleo.
If Miss Cleo was the person killing these people for using the wrong, then I'm back on board.
That would be more, actually, you already just came up with a better premise than this movie, which is a fraud psychic like killing people to make the to make it seem like the reading was correct. Like that would be a better premise. Everyone thinks it's the ghost killing them, but at the end you find out it's this fraud psychic who
it should just be Miss Cleo though.
Yeah, well sure.
But I would be scared if I saw her.
I'm guessing that she needs the money. I don't know how well she did.
I don't even know if she's still around.
I would be surprised if she's still alive.
It was only like 30 years ago. She's probably only like in her 60s right now.
She and Danny Hicker. You know,
yeah.
Which would make her a unique pick for the villain. So that's kind of cool. You wouldn't see that coming.
I think Don West is dead, though, and that's a shame. He was the Jim Mint 10.
That's what I say.
Baseball cards.
Jim Mint 10. Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card. Are you trying to do Macho Man, or are you just that coked out?
Have you seen the SNL Will Ferrell playing Don West?
No.
They're trying to sell Mark Hamill.
Oh, my God.
This isn't the other knockoff Mark Hamill's. This is actually Mark Hamill.
You gotta give Don West credit. He transcended to a cultural icon for just getting really excited about Jim Mint baseball cards.
Or cocaine. I think he was mainly excited about the cocaine.
Yeah. But if you ever get the chance, SNL, Will Ferrell as Don West, selling Mark Hamill. Chris Kattan plays his sidekick.
Oh, I'll watch that too.
All right. An amusing anecdote before we move on. Just because they've made such a deal out of the never use someone else's tarot deck thing.
Do you have somebody else's tarot deck in your possession?
Floating behind him.
I briefly had a roommate who had a tarot deck. And so for fun, I would just take the tarot deck and do bullshit readings for people. But tried to make them sound as authentic as possible. And guys, this is not a hard thing to do. I didn't know what any of the cards actually meant, but just making up some bullshit meaning on the fly, very easy. So
did you have a circle with the one in the middle?
No. I just, honestly, my layouts usually looked more or less like a game of
solitaire. You're playing Guess Who?
it looked like solitaire for the most part. But I think everyone should try to be a tarot reading con artist because it's not hard.
They tell the truth, Terry. They foreknow.
I just think it's a general life advice is don't use a tarot deck that looks like it's coming out of a box made of human skin. That is kind of my takeaway from that preview.
Yeah, the human skin or ancient relic thing. I mean, just generally, that should raise red flags. I don't care what you're doing.
Yeah, is this a belly button? Or is that the clasp? That's a belly button. I'm going to not use this deck.
It's right up there with the we shouldn't be thawing out ancient creatures thing.
Ancient microbes. Oh, we've got an ice core. Let's not release those viruses, please.
Right. I mean, we keep doing it, but, you would think red flags.
You might release a virus that could turn the apes smart and the humans dead. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Many years after the...
I'm a pro.
That was the most beautiful segue, Chad. I just have to stop and applaud that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Many years after the reign of Caesar, a young ape goes on a journey that will lead him to question everything he's been taught about the past and make choices that will define the future for apes and humans alike.
I didn't know apes took history classes. That's something I wasn't aware of.
Well, I mean, they had scientists in the original Planet of the Apes. So
that's true. Yeah. But this seems I guess, Chad and I were talking about, I haven't seen any of these kind of the new Planet of the Apes trilogy, or
Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and War for the Planet of the Apes.
So there, at least in this trailer, the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, it looked like wooden structures, looked like medieval times, not like scientist times.
Yeah,
why I got a little confused. Is the original Planet of the Apes, they're dressed in more modern clothing and things like that.
I mean, the apes definitely have an aesthetic that they like, but I think it's an aesthetic choice. I mean, they could have air conditioning, but they choose not to have air conditioning.
The big wooden gorilla nest things.
Yes.
It's starring Owen Teague and Freya Allen and is directed by Wes Ball. A bunch of people I don't know.
I'm saying, okay. they made this movie.
But only his West Ball, not his East Ball.
Not his North and South.
The West Ball is always a little bit bigger than the East Ball because of the Venus drainage.
Here's the thing.
Alan was in The Witcher, this TV series.
So. Wow. But here's the thing. These movies have all kind of become repetitive. I mean, they all kind of seem like the same movie. More or less. So I want them to jump further into the future where the apes just completely have it all taken over. And the only humans left are in the zoo. You know, let's
and then flip it down its head, and they create a virus that kills all the apes and makes the humans smart.
There you go. There you go.
I'm going to Hollywood. See you guys.
Chaz is spitting fire today here. It's just ideas come out of every pore.
Yeah, I'm just
that
just snaps.
I want to see more monkeys in fighter planes.
Monkeys
in fighter planes?
Yeah, I want to see more monkeys in fighter planes. I feel like it's time.
So I'd say like the Tim Burton Planet of the Apes is kind of what you would like to see then. So they had like a gun, like more advanced technology and stuff.
Sure, but the problem there is that was fucking awful.
It was pretty bad.
But
I'm on a monkey submarine.
Okay, I admit I just recreated the Tim Burton one, which I didn't know.
strike three.
All right, Chad's going to Hollywood, and I'm not going with him. That's what we learned.
I don't know anything about movies, but. next up, not another church movie. So are they going to do a not another movie?
Yeah. So what is the character? Is it Tyler Ferry?
Taylor Ferry. Yeah. Taylor Ferry is given a mission from God to tell his family's stories and inspire his community. What he doesn't know is that the devil has plans of his own.
Is there some sort of like previous like Joker meme about it not being a Tyler Perry movie that they're like playing on, because it was clearly a very clear point they were making during this trailer.
I think that was like the joke for like, this is what we're gonna make, and then this is
the scary movie of Tyler Perry movies.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So starring Kevin Daniels and Jamie Foxx and directed by Johnny Mack. So Kevin Daniels was in Modern Family as like a somewhat of a recurring character.
We had watched Modern Family fairly recently. Yes. So yes.
I don't know. This one didn't grab me. I don't know if I'm just not the target audience. Yeah, that's entirely possible, but
yeah. wasn't landing with me.
Yeah. I included it cause we just did the top five fish out of water. And I don't know. I thought of White Chicks. And I thought Tom would really like it.
I didn't see any of them impersonating young white women though, Chad. Yeah. The main thrust of White Chicks.
I do have to say, though, I do like the idea of Mickey Rourke as the devil. Like, that's good casting.
Yeah, he had to work for a day on that.
They didn't show enough. They didn't show enough of Mickey Rourke in that one as the white devil.
Speaking of White Chicks, did you ever see Some Like It Hot with Marilyn Monroe and... Who is it? Is it Tony Stewart and Jack Lemmon?
That sounds right. I'd have to look it up. I saw it once.
I think no. Okay. It doesn't sound right.
They dress up as women in that. So.
Yeah. In fact, that's kind of
what White Chicks is.
Well, and that kind of kicked off the whole genre of men dressing up as women comedies.
Like Bosom Buddies, kind of that sort of.
Yeah. All of that stuff owes its origins to Some Like It Hot.
Okay, I have not seen it.
I remember seeing it, and it didn't make a huge impression on me. It's like, okay, that was kind of funny. But I also acknowledged that I had seen many more, you know, accomplished versions of that story, you know, because I'm not living in the 1950s. So, you know, some of the shock and all that was, you know, didn't land as well.
Yeah. Yeah, some of them didn't have Terry Crews in it. So.
Right. I mean, I saw Dustin Hoffman as Tootsie when I was a kid. So, I mean.
I remember when I was very young, and I remember, all I remember is just being confused. Right? Like, not that he was dressed as a woman, just like I didn't understand the plot of the movie. It was very unclear to me.
I don't remember the plot of Tootsie. I just remember Dustin Hoffman was dressed as a woman for some reason.
Yeah, I remember the box, like the. It was always at the video store. Nobody ever rented that one.
Well, apparently I did. Or well, no, we did have HBO for a while, so maybe I saw it on that.
It's right next to Jack and Jill.
Yeah.
So
write in if you know the plot of Tootsie and tell us if it's any good.
Terry, have you seen Jack and Jill?
Jack and Jill. I mean, nothing's springing to mind. What is it?
How do I make him and Shannon watch Jack and Jill?
It's got a lot of stars in it.
Yeah, it's got Al Pacino in it. So
it's got Al Pacino. What was this? What's the ad that he's doing? The coffee.
It's like, I don't remember. I just that's like the only part of that is kind of a meme. Is Mochaccino?
It was the Mocha Pacino. Yeah, it was something with Al Pacino doing like a Mochaccino drinking.
Yeah,
and Adam Sandler. A whole lot of Adam Sandler.
It's considered one of the worst movies ever.
Oh, this is an Adam Sandler movie. Okay.
Jack and Jill. Yes, I would.
I just pulled it up on IMDb. So you're right. It does have a good cast. Katie Holmes is in there. Al Pacino. Yeah,
it's worth watching.
David Spade's on there.
Noon Shannon Meadows. I think you would be entertained.
They got Norm MacDonald. Man, all right. I'm going to watch this just for the cast and because you told me it's supposed to be the worst movie ever made. So
I can also not argue with that.
I mean, I kind of see that as a pair. I'll go into it rooting for it. Let me look.
It keeps just growing in my, I don't know, for a free service, it's incredible.
Let's see. For streaming, it seems to be on Peacock and on Pluto TV.
Oh, Pluto. There we go. It works.
Yeah, if you have Tubi and Pluto, you can pretty much watch any movie ever made. Except for Blast from the Past.
And Dogma. No one is ever allowed to see Dogma ever again.
I'm not sure if... Okay, they don't have the correct Jack and Jill.
On
Tubi. Too bad.
In fact, I think we... You know, this is a controversial take, but I think we could take away, like, one of the charges... If Harvey Weinstein would just release Dogma, like do it as a trade.
What is Dogma?
Well, I thought one of the charges got dropped because they mishandled the evidence or whatever.
Right, but we were dumb about it and we didn't get Dogma out of the deal. We shouldn't have, you know, if one of the charges was going to be dropped, we should have gotten Dogma.
Dogma is it's a Kevin Smith movie with like Jane Silent Bob.
I swear I saw like a trailer, even like a movie poster for Dogma. Why?
No, it got released and stuff. Okay. It's just not available to watch anywhere. So
because Harvey Weinstein was the producer on it. He controls the rights to the movie and he won't do anything with it. He's kind of holding it hostage. We negotiate for this hostage. I love Alan Rickman in it. It's worth it just for Alan Rickman.
Oh, okay.
You can just not.
Rickman. This is Alan.
You just not pay for it and you get that movie.
Well, yes, I know there are illegal ways to get the movie.
I do have it on DVD if you want to borrow it.
I actually might because I haven't seen it in forever because you can't find it anywhere.
You're coming up for Memorial Day, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, I'll bring it over. You can borrow it.
All right.
There.
Perfect.
We did film this before the end of May. All right, next movie up, Back to Black. Singer Amy Winehouse's tumultuous relationship with Blake Fielder Civil inspires her to write and record the groundbreaking album Back to Black.
Now, this is amazing because they took a topic that I am intrinsically interested in. Because I love that album and I loved Amy Winehouse and they managed through the course of one trailer, make me not want to see the movie. So that was quite the journey that I went on from interest to disinterest.
Yeah. Starring Marissa Abella, Jack O'Connell and Eddie Marsan and directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Okay. Eddie Marsan was in The Man Who Knew Too Little. If you have a sharp eye. He is the mugger at the very beginning.
Oh, no shit. Okay, he's like, let's do it over again. All right. The British, the two, like,
yeah, give me your wallet.
Like the London thugs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give me your wallet.
We
started.
This bloke's
no one told me we started yet. I'm going to go again. It's getting so no decent man can't walk the street. That's so good. We'll get to it. We'll get to it.
I am stinking the place up. Let's take this wallet and let's go on.
You grab it. This guy's a nutter.
Oh, man. Such a good movie.
So good. But yeah, this, I mean, how did they take Amy Winehouse and make it look bad?
And not just about drugs and stuff?
Yeah.
Well, her dad seemed very supportive.
Yeah, apparently it's gotten a lot of crap because it shows her, like, is it husband or boyfriend and her dad in a more positive light than they deserve to be.
Oh, okay.
Apparently her boyfriend is one that introduced her to crack and cocaine and stuff. So,
as legend has it, yeah.
Yeah, so she didn't do that. Then she met this guy and it's like, yeah, take a little, be somebody, baby.
That, and I don't know, this is nitpicky, but I don't feel like the actress looks like her, really. Like, I don't know.
She looked close enough, but more better than the Bob Marley actor.
Fair. Yeah.
Yeah. The Bob Marley actor looked nothing like Bob Marley.
I've always kind of wondered, like, in the biopics, is that, like, if I'm casting for a biopic, is that the most important thing, that they look like him, or it's like somebody that can just personify them?
I think it helps a great deal if they look like him.
Yeah, but I mean, like, Joaquin Phoenix doesn't really look anything like Johnny Cash, and I would say that's like one of the best performances for a music biopic.
He did a great job of embodying Johnny Cash.
Yeah, and what's his the guy from The Kingsman? What's his name? He played Elton John.
And, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. What is his name? Shit, I forgot his name.
It's Eggsy.
But yeah, the Elton John biopic was great.
Yeah, I love that one.
And then,
Dexter Fletcher, the director of Rocket Man, is in The Man Who Knew Too Little.
Oh, no kidding!
It's all coming together.
Wow, it's
Otto, the guy at the beginning, is like, "Do you know what your problem is? Apart from being a really ugly bastard." He's in Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels, and
all right, yeah,
he's a good director, actually. So
nice. What was I going to say? I was going to say something. Shit, I forgot.
I'm just going to talk about The Man Who Knew Too Little, like, until we start the pot. Yeah.
I was just going to mention one of my favorite examples of really capturing a character for a musician biopic, which, and I know people hate this movie, but whatever. Val Kilmer playing Jim Morrison in The Doors. He was so good in that. Like, hate the movie all you want. I totally get that. It was pretentious as hell. But his performance was great. And you can't take that away from him, damn it.
All right, let's stop talking about any movie that we're actually talking about. And let's go to, have you seen the Ben Stiller show, Oliver Stone Land?
Yes. With the animatronic version of the Doors. Give me some death. No, Jim, no. Oh, that was a classic.
Well, it's so good. It's like Ben Stiller's Oliver Stone coming out, and like Walt Disney walking through Disneyland, it's him walking through Oliver Stone Land.
That's pretty good.
It's awesome. It's up there with Counting with Bruce Springsteen and Ask Manson.
The Ben Stiller show, I can't recommend because there's so many that miss, but some of the sketches
home runs.
So good. And Ben Stiller doing Daniel Day-Lewis is hilarious. His impression of Daniel Day-Lewis in Last of the Mohicans.
Is this streaming anywhere? Is the Ben Stiller show out there somewhere?
I'm sure it is somewhere. I do have that on DVD. So,
all right.
Complete series. Next up is it IF or IF? I think it's IF.
It's IF, because what Ryan Reynolds, that guy who doesn't age, he actually says IFs.
Okay. After discovering she can see everyone's imaginary friends, a girl embarks on a magical adventure to reconnect forgotten ifs with their kids.
I kind of got that it wasn't her kids; it was like getting them new kids.
It was getting the imaginary friends, new kids to be imaginary friends with,
including Invisible Keith.
Yeah. So starring Ryan Reynolds and Kaylee Fleming, and directed by John Krasinski, who did what's the one with Emily Blunt and him where can't make a noise.
Oh, the fucking shit! I can't remember.
Sequel.
Yeah, I think was that Bird Box or no? Bird Box was the one.
It's in that same genre of I can't use a sense so to escape the monster.
I can't remember. The prequel is coming out this year.
Quiet Place. I don't know what they're called.
Quiet Place.
That is, I think that is it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They had to do one where you can't use the sense of taste. Like if you use the sense of taste,
your sense of fashion, like, oh god, terrible.
And it,
everybody just has to wear the worst sweaters.
Yeah. The monster's like, oh god, oh, god.
There we can't go. We got it. We got another movie here.
We are just cranking them out.
Yeah.
Sense of fair play.
I think we could do this on a budget too.
Oh yeah, no, I think if we can raise $37-38, we can go with this thing.
Yeah, we're just hit up the Goodwill and yeah, it's showtime.
You don't have to show the monster. I mean, that's kind of the thing in these movies, or
yes,
the wind.
All you need is, honestly, all you need is a bunch of fabulous gay men.
I'm pretty sure Mark he's looking for work, so I think we could probably pick him up.
Yeah, there we go. You'd what's a Queer Eye for the Straight Guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Them as the monsters, and they're killing everybody that has good fashion sense, but then they see they just can't see you if you're wearing terrible clothes. It's like
the eyes slide off of you because you're just too mal-groomed.
Oh my god, his pants and shirt are matching. They kill him.
Jonathan Van Ness, he's so nice. But he just ate that fan.
There's something there. That thing's got legs. I'll give it, you know.
Yeah, I think that was probably the best one so far. Like, I'm going to go home and start writing this script.
Start storyboarding. You know,
honestly, Chad, if you put more than 2 hours into it, you're taking it too seriously. Like, this screenplay should be done in 2 hours.
I'll think about it. But
Kaylee gotta make Fleming, this Killing Zoe style, you know.
Kaylee Fleming, the girl in Ifs, she played young Rey in Force Awakens.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when she's getting dropped off and watching her parents fly away.
That's girl. Apparently scarred from it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So is it true Ryan Reynolds is actually 97 years old now?
I'll believe it. I don't know.
Him and Paul Rudd were both born in 1897.
they both have their portraits at home somewhere.
Yeah.
Next up, Furiosa, Mad Max saga. Snatched from the green place of many mothers, young Furiosa falls into the hands of a great biker horde led by the warlord Dementis. Sweeping through the wasteland, they come across the citadel presided over by the Immortan Joe. As the two tyrants fight for dominance, Furiosa soon finds herself in a nonstop battle to make her way home.
Oh, is that what the plot is? All right.
So starring Anya Taylor-Joy and Chris Hemsworth, and then directed by George Miller.
Was Chris Hemsworth in? I haven't seen any of the new Mad Maxes. Was he in?
It was Tom Hardy played Mad Max, and then it was Charlize Theron.
I saw the Tom Hardy one. I did not see the Charlize Theron one.
They're in the same. That was the same movie.
Same movie.
I thought there was one where Charlize Theron was like a Furiosa.
No, that's the
Tom Hardy Mad Max.
Maybe I didn't see it actually then.
Oh. It's a great movie. I love that movie.
Yeah, no, that is, I know this is a bit of blasphemy because, you know, you got to respect the originals, but in my opinion, it was the best Mad Max movie.
Second best.
Yeah, one's the best? Best
is a Mad Max before they redubbed it in English, and you have to listen to the Australian English where it is incomprehensible.
Yeah, it's hard to understand. I got they had like a special edition DVD that came out like a long time ago. It's like with the original Australian.
Like, you need subtitles.
Yeah, you can't understand a fucking word.
Oh shit! I kind of want to see that.
There, if you want to go deep, if you want to go into the Australian horror genre, there's Razorback. There's like a whole.
Oh, I remember Razorback. Razorback was a good movie.
What was the name of the? There's a
Peter Jackson one.
Jungo. One of the characters' name has a great Australian name. I'll have to pull that one up again.
What's the Peter Jackson one?
Naked Lunch.
No.
That was when his first movie. That's where they remember the. Have you seen Naked Lunch?
Many times, yes.
Yeah. When they people, that's what they make the intergalactic hamburgers out of.
What are we talking about here?
Wait, are we talking about different Naked Lunches?
He's talking about the one with.
I'm talking Peter about Walker, the big Cronenberg movie.
I think it's Peter Jackson. There's also, isn't it Naked Lunch?
What's the
Peter Jackson one?
I'm looking this up.
The aliens collect people to make into hamburgers. It was one of Peter Jackson's first movies.
Let's take a look.
Is it not? Maybe I misread. I thought that one was also called Naked Lunch.
Naked Lunch is, who is it?
That's the one I hated.
RoboCop's in it, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's directed by David Cronenberg and is an amazing movie that Tom hates.
It did not jive with me, I'll be honest.
Bad Taste.
Bad Taste. That's what I'm thinking of. See, Naked Lunch is now, it's eating my brain.
Yeah.
I was thinking of, taking over good movies in my brain.
I was thinking Dead Alive.
Oh.
Yeah.
I saw that. Oh, my God. How many? Probably 100 times I've watched Dead Alive.
Well, everyone loves Dead Alive. Like, you know.
I kick most, ass in the name of the Lord.
For the Lord. She's got the bite.
Oh, such a good movie. If you're out there and you haven't seen Dead Alive, this is the movie you need to go watch right now. Everyone needs to see
probably the most fake blood ever used in a movie. I'm not sure how you prove it, but that is their claim.
But Furiosa, Mad Max, I'm excited to see it, but also I've watched the trailer and I've rewatched Fury Road like pretty recently. It looks kind of like the prequels compared to the original Star Wars. It's like it looks a little nicer, but it's definitely CG.
Yeah.
And kind of like Lord of the Rings versus The Hobbit. It's like, I'm excited to see it, but there looks like they're relying on CG a lot instead of doing the hard work of the stunt work that they did in the first one.
Right. Well, that's because that almost killed everybody. In an obsessive need to keep everyone safe, which I respect, they shot that thing for like fucking like 10 months, 11 months, something like that.
Which one? Fury Road?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it went into production in the late 90s. They started building cars for it.
Right. But they did when they finally started shooting, they shot for like 10 months.
Yeah, it was like 8 or 9 months the first time. Then they had to go back and do another 6 months.
Right, because he didn't create a beginning or an ending for the movie. As I understand it, it wasn't until the production company changed hands. Was it 20th Century Fox or was it Warner Brothers? Yeah, once Warner Brothers got a new president, then that guy greenlit them doing reshoots so the movie had a beginning and an ending to it.
Yeah.
That's how I heard the story.
But. Okay.
I just think she takes the smoky eye look just a little too far.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the way up. I mean, that is kind of going far with that, but it's a good look for her. You know, the kids love it.
It'd be hard to do. I mean, it's like a nice gradient. I'm like, that's like a TikTok like makeup video.
Yeah, I'll let you guys know if it's any good because I'll be seeing this opening night. Well, so
here's what I've heard. I've been trying to avoid reviews and all that shit because again, I loved Fury Road and I'm excited for this movie, but I hear it's not quite the action-packed extravaganza that Fury Road was. This time they put in dialogue and and tried to have like a backstory and like an expansive world and all that. It's not just cars chasing each other is what I'm trying to say, and
that doesn't sound as good.
No, it doesn't, does it? They're like,
I've seen George Miller's other movies, so it's like.
Yeah, the great thing about Fury Road is that it's like, okay, flimsy excuse for this to start. Chase, 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 chase. Okay, let's wrap it up quick. Like, that's Fury Road. And, like, Mad Max, the main character, has, like, 38 lines or something like that total.
And, by the way, the best Mad Max movie is Road Warrior. Is the best Mad Max movie.
Can't we just get beyond Thunderdome?
Now, see, Beyond Thunderdome is actually, I'm concerned.
That's from Majesty 3K. That was a recurring joke.
Yeah. I would say that this movie kind of looks like a Beyond Thunderdome in that it's like after the success of the first one, you know, it comes the bigger budget studio version with like better effects and all of that, but somehow isn't as good as the previous.
Yeah, probably. But
that's my one.
New one isn't going to have Tina Turner in it or Master Blaster. Yeah, it's not going to be as good.
But honestly, even if it's only half as good as Furiosa, or I mean, as Fury Road, is that still going to mean a great fucking movie? So
yeah, I hope so. I hope it's good, but I don't know. I'm a little hesitant to keep my expectations low.
Right, that's the best way to go into anything. It's like,
all right,
yeah.
Let's wrap up May with Hitman. A professor moonlighting as a hitman of sorts for his city police department descends into dangerous, dubious territory when he finds himself attracted to a woman who enlists his services.
Hello, Tomcat.
Yeah, that's Nymphadora.
Which one is that?
This is Nymphadora.
Nymphadora. Okay, that's a crazy name for a cat. Sorry, there was a cat. I had to say hi. It's a rule.
Yeah. Well, it's a Harry Potter name.
Yeah, Nymphadora Tonks.
Does she? No, I was.
It's the last name of the character.
You named your dog Dobby.
Dobby.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah. So how do you not know who Nymphadora is?
Because I've seen the movies once. Like, which character was Nymphadora?
You haven't read the books?
She was the polymorph magus. She's the one that can change her appearance and, like,
her hair color.
Hair color and, like, animal. Yeah.
That's kind of a lame superpower. Because, like, I mean, a lot of people can change their hair color. It's Miss Clairol, and then you change your hair color.
Wah, wah.
Thank you. Appreciate I'll be here all night. But no, I read the first book, and I saw most of the movies once. I don't know if I've seen them all. Pretty sure I did.
Lucy, she's in book five, yeah. So we're in the heart of it right now.
This is starring Glenn Powell and Adria Arjona, and then directed by Richard Linklater.
Which is the only reason I'm interested.
I don't know. I think it looks pretty good. It's going to be on Netflix. Can you just watch it at home?
Yeah. No,
I thought it was going to be a Hitman. What's the Timothy Oliphant? They're going back to that series. If you want to watch some bad movies.
they did another Hitman, too.
Yeah. I don't think I saw the next one. I like Timothy Oliphant, but that was a rough movie.
I love Timothy Oliphant, but I don't know what movie you're talking about.
Hitman. It was based on the video games where he's like a genetically raised assassin. They have like the barcode on these balls.
Oh, yeah. No, I skipped that. That did not look good.
Yeah, God, who is it? It's the villain in the first Deadpool was Hitman 47 or Agent 47 or whatever.
In the first Deadpool.
I'll bring him up. Hold on.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm just excited for it. When does Deadpool 3 come out?
That's next month or the month after.
Nice. Looking forward to it.
Hard R ones are there. It's going to be entertaining.
Where is he? Hold on.
No one talks so that it auto edits the part out.
Head screen.
What the hell is he wearing?
He's wearing a...
That guy.
That's a frock.
Well, he's in the Transporter reboot.
Oh, have we gotten to like Crank and Cranks 2 and all those good movies?
Yeah, that he was in the Zack Snyder Rebel Moon.
Oh, movies. I haven't seen those. I everybody tell me they're terrible, so I have not watched them.
Brutal.
These are the Netflix, like they're supposed to be the Star Wars, right? Like his Star Wars.
Yeah. This is like the movie they pitched to Star Wars, which I'm kind of surprised Star Wars didn't do because it's fucking terrible.
is there any thinly veiled racial stereotypes in this in Rebel Moon?
I don't know. I watched the first one and it was pretty bad. And then I just forgot.
Then Rebel Moon, the second one just had three O's. So two O's.
Moon.
And then the final one could be like Good Night Moon.
Yeah. It was terrible. And I was like really excited for it too. Like when it was coming out, like I was like, the trailer looked pretty good. And it had the main character is, in the Kingsman, she plays the lady with like the knives.
Oh, I still need to watch Kingsman because I know you guys. I had somehow thought it was different and need to watch it. As you said, I guess it was very good for the Kingsman series.
It's enjoyable. Very good might be strong, but it's good.
Yeah, no, the first one's really good. The second one's so-so, and I heard the prequel is really good.
Okay,
so. Yeah, that has Ralph Fiennes or Rafe.
Rafe Fiennes. Yes.
Ralph Fiennes.
Is it Rafe Fiennes Voldemort or Rafe Fiennes Made in Manhattan? Which one do you want? It's the same.
I love J-Lo.
Actually, it was Rafe Fiennes Schindler's List. So
pretty similar character to what he played in Made in Manhattan, probably. Yeah.
Just gets up, gets a gun, starts shooting juice from the balcony.
Who can I exploit?
Oh, my goodness.
Latina woman over here.
That was a rough one. Rough to watch. All right. That's it for May. So we can get into The Man Who Knew Too Little and just basically quote the entire movie all the way
through. Yeah, should we just start at the beginning and just, beginning to end this thing? And
You're a cute little pocket rocket. I was expecting some uptight British gal.
Alfred Molina as the butcher. He was my personal favorite character.
Oh, yeah. You know, it wasn't until this viewing that I realized who that was. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's Doc Octavius.
It was amazing. And I love this movie so much. And let's talk about it. The Man Who Knew Too Little, in London to celebrate his birthday with James, his rich younger brother, hapless American Wallace Ritchie gets signed up to participate in an elaborate role-playing theater performance. However, when Wallace accidentally receives a call intended for an actual hitman, he gets caught in a web of intrigue, completely unaware that the action unfolding around him is real. Luckily, the lovely Laurie is around to help the clueless guy out of tight spots.
Does she, though? I mean, he kind of...
She doesn't really help. She's just kind of part of it.
Like, yeah. She kind of helps him, I guess, later on, but not initially. She's just trying to basically get away.
Yeah. Starring Bill Murray as Wallace Ritchie and Joanne Whaley as Laurie. Then Peter Gallagher in an underrated performance as James Ritchie. And then Alfred Molina as Boris the Butcher.
I'm going to say, I didn't mean to do this, but Peter Gallagher is going to be in one of my movies on my list.
Oh, nice.
He's actually a pretty funny actor.
Like, yeah, he's amazing. He's got,
yeah.
No one thinks of him as a comedic actor, but he's got good chops, man.
And great eyebrows.
Although his direction for this movie was just, do exasperated. Just, you know. Oh, am I on camera? Then I'm exasperated.
The voice messages from from Bill Murray's character is trying to have his fans be like, oh, yeah, we're... Some of those were pretty good.
All right, do it with the girl. Have a wonderful time.
Have a great time. Yeah, you paid for the whole thing.
I guess I should have called her an actress. the defense minister's calling her.
Oh, that really hurts.
The box office for this one did not do well. $13,717,039
against a budget of like $30 million. Yeah,
$20 million. Yeah.
Oh, was it only $20 million?
Because Bill Murray would have been a big. I feel like just the name Bill Murray would have pulled more than that. But
yeah, I mean, like Peter Gallagher, Alfred Molina, they're probably fairly cheap. But Bill Murray, I would say. Around that time, I'd say at least $5 to $10 million for a starring role. So, but I don't know. Maybe he was a producer and he got a bunch of residuals. So he didn't make it. But then Joanne Whaley is that's Val Kilmer's wife, right? Or
yes, ex-wife. Correct. That was my little bit of trivia for this one. Yeah. Was that she's married to Val Kilmer?
Yeah, she. They met on the set of Willow.
Oh shit. All right.
Yeah, she plays the evil witch's daughter.
I have not seen Willow in too long.
Yeah, it's been like 40 years something.
Speaking of Willow, did you see that Disney Plus removed the new Willow series after like 3 months on the service?
Oh, it's like so bad. No, there's not on there.
Yeah, you cannot watch that anymore legally.
No Willow for you.
That makes me want to watch it more.
Well, yeah, talk about a great publicity move for the series. Now I want to see it.
Yeah, it. I think it had a budget well over $100 million for their 8 episodes. And,
and
they pulled it. And the reason that I know about it is because all the actors and like people that worked on it were pissed because they don't get any money now from like residuals and stuff. It's like,
well, yeah, that's become the sneaky move now is you just
remove it.
Yeah, you just don't. ever let it see the light of day. You just pull the whole thing, and then you don't have to pay people.
Yeah, or not releasing them. Like, that's kind of like the new tax cut is to, like.
Oh yeah, they did that with that superhero movie. What was that?
Batgirl, I think.
Yeah.
Or super? No, it wasn't Superwoman. I think it was Batgirl. But it was like $100 million movie, and like it was almost ready to go. Like, they were just gonna finish up the effects and start doing the marketing, and they're like, "Nope, just throw it in the dumpster."
Yeah, and then like the act, like the performers can't like claim it as like a performing credit, right? If it doesn't get released,
I don't know about that, but they don't get any of the like back end off the box office and video sales and all that. So
whatever they got, they could have signed a contract that ended up being terrible if you were planning on that type of stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and my understanding is that a lot of, contracts are more back end heavy than front end. You know, it's how they can keep the budgets down and still, you know, make the movie. Oh, we'll give you, X percent after the fact.
That's like Robert Downey Jr. It wasn't like he made a huge amount of money with like from the Iron Man movies, right? Because he did like a percentage as opposed to a higher.
Well, for like the Marvel movies, like how their contracts all work, like your first three movies, you get $500,000. Not too much, which I mean, $500,000 is a lot of money, but not what you'd expect from like the superhero movies. But then once you get to like 4, 5, 6, then your salary goes way up. So for like Avengers Endgame, I think Robert Downey Jr. ended up making over $100 million just from that one movie.
Imagine how much they make in like the Fast and Furious movies at this point. They're making like $1 billion a movie for each actor.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's why Paul Walker is still acting in them.
use the holograms.
But yeah, The Man Who Knew Too Little. I mean, if you're a Bill Murray fan, is probably top two or three performances from Bill Murray. He plays just the hapless idiot so well, and it's like
it gave me a lot of the same vibes as like his kind of his performance in Stripes.
Okay,
like kind of the vibes I get.
I'd say like Stripes, he's a little bit more confident. Like,
I guess the early, like before he gets into the army and kind of learns.
Yeah.
But
okay, but just A plus.
And they keep going to the end of that movie that he doesn't get.
Yo, yeah, he never finds out. Like,
yeah, a spoiler, but yeah, he. Ultimately, the CIA is recruiting him and shit, and he still doesn't realize that he's a hitman and not an actor.
And like Lori, his love interest in it, she seems to think that he knows that he's a hitman, like all the way to the end, too. And it's like, they want you to be a star, so start acting like one.
Ooh, okay.
You're
a dressing room.
There will be fresh flowers.
There better be honestly,
it's the little moments in the movie that sell the movie for me. Like reacting to how loud the gunshot is.
Like, boy, that was loud.
God, so loud. That was like, how did they do that? Because the phone broke. He shot it, but he thinks it's a special effect.
Everyone's like,
wow. How did I miss you from 3 feet away?
Spencer, did you remember to flush? I think she's gonna take care of the floater.
And then things like, don't yell in someone's ear, that causes real damage.
And he detects like all the evil guys because he can smell their Old Spice.
Yeah.
Boris's Old Spice is lingering.
It was a great movie. I had not seen it for a long time. And
yeah, I was delighted that it still held up because this was one of those movies that I held in high regard, but admitted I hadn't seen in quite some time. It held up. It was still funny.
When it first came out, we watched that pretty much once a week for a good two to three years. Yeah, it's like it was in the rotation with Big Lebowski because it was kind of the same time. And it was when DVD was kind of new, so like home movies. Yeah, it was.
Well, if you're talking like you hear about like technological leaps for like video game consoles, like going from VHS to DVD, that was without doubt the biggest like jumping home and watching something at home. Yeah, it's crazy.
But yeah, when another favorite part is when they find Spencer dead in the chair.
Oh, and yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's really dedicated this man.
I'm impressed.
Man, if you were dead, you wouldn't be able to catch this. Oh, and then when he when the body falls forward, revealing the letters, thanks for making it fun.
Oh, man. And Dr. Rumila is like, the evil lady torturer?
Bring her in here.
You might not even be able to withstand her. I'm not ticklish.
It was a consistently hilarious movie.
Oh, man. Yeah.
The one caveat is you can't go into it expecting like a serious movie. This was intended to be dumb fun, and it's dumb fun beginning to end. But, you know, if you're looking for, you know, substance, you're not going to find it here. You could maybe do some sort of analysis of how it relates back to, like, you know, Get Smart and some early spy parodies and stuff, but it was just meant as dumb fun.
Yeah. I don't know. Smart, dumb fun, though.
Oh, I mean, I'm not.
All the little things in it, like you said, it's like the everything kind of builds into each one because this happened, this happens.
It's beautifully crafted. I'm just saying, you know. There's no larger message. There's no subtext save that Bill Murray is a comedy god. That's the subtext of the movie.
And he doesn't know that it's real money. That's just, you really don't care about the money, do you? It's just funny money.
It's just funny money.
Because it's the British pound instead of American dollars.
It's not real. Like in the earnestness that he says that with, it's not real. But the doll, that was real. Like that.
Oh man. I can't recommend this movie enough. It is definitely a five star awesome movie.
Five stars for me.
I will go with you. I will say five stars.
We are in five star agreement. Has this ever happened before?
We probably haven't picked as
maybe
at some point, but it's one that's like it's like picking a Ghostbusters almost here. It's like a classic Bill Murray comedy movie that is very consistently well done.
Yeah, there was one almost five star unanimous review a long time ago that I've gotten shit about.
You gave it four and a half stars, right?
It was four and a half stars, so almost like five stars.
What was the movie?
It was Coneheads.
It is a five star.
It is a Jim Mint 10.
And that's the, stars.
And that's the thing about all this is it's all subjective. It's all just opinion. I mean, you know.
It's subjectively, I'll say objectively, a five star movie.
It is a fantastic movie. But the daughter in it is so annoying. I don't like it.
Chris Farley makes up for anything that she maybe was doing. Oh, she took down that sandwich just like my mom. I haven't seen anybody take down a sandwich like that.
I do like that I can feel the tension still between you two over this four and a half stars.
You'll take my car as opposed to driving your rusted out shitbox.
She's giving birth.
The Plufarb is broken. That was something that Holly probably still hasn't forgiven Jerry for. Both Hollies. I'll say it because Jerry's Holly, I think, was more angry than anybody when my Holly went into labor and Jerry texted out, the Plufarb is broken. The birth cousin has begun. And everybody thought something bad happened, like some sort of horrific accident occurred during Molly's pregnancy. It's like, no, it's the line from Coneheads when her water breaks. What the hell are you talking about?
I didn't know Jerry did that.
Broken. The first spasm has begun.
Me and Jerry knew exactly what that meant.
Holly's water broke.
Oh, God, what was that? Was that just a text message?
Yeah, it was a text message. Yeah, everybody thought, like, oh, my God, is she okay?
Yeah, because, like, right after it, like, did something happen?
Yeah, everybody thought something horrible had happened.
But I think me and Tony were at work and we're like laughing.
Me and Jerry presumed this was a well-known movie reference.
Oh shit, that's brilliant.
And he did it like snap of the fingers. Yeah. He knew, like,
I was like, oh, yeah.
Oh man, that was good.
Jerry was an amazingly funny guy in the driest possible way. Like,
oh man. All right. I was crying alert.
I've never heard that story before. I thought I heard all the good Jerry stories, but
yeah, I think that was Amelia. I think it was the first.
Yeah, it was the first one.
I don't think Plufarb happened for number two.
I think we learned our lesson.
Oh boy.
All right. Should we do a top five?
Top five. We've been building up your list quite a bit this episode. So I think we should start with you.
Sorry, I'll do my real ones. And then once we're all done, I will.
Yeah, I thought you're going to do like a little quiz, though. You're going to read the synopsis and let us guess.
Oh, we want to do that for the main movies. And then I also do that for the runners up.
It's up to you how you want to do it.
All right. This is going to be a long episode.
Unfortunately, the number five. I'll say one word, Kazakhstan.
Oh, Borat.
Borat. Number five for me is Borat.
Fantastic.
This is what I did look up. One of the trivia bits for this one, it says, at least per IMDb, the police were called on Sacha Baron Cohen 92 times during the production of this film.
Yeah, that fits. I buy that.
Yeah. Budget, $18 million. Gross worldwide, $262 million.
Yeah,
that is a good return on investment right there.
I mean, he was somewhat famous because of his TV
Ali
show,
Ali G
show.
Him going to the American Adult Film like conference in Las Vegas was phenomenal. As to Ali G,
there's a midget eating a woman's muff.
Over there. It's pretty good. So, yes, Borat, as a fish out of water, he did. Honestly,
I think that would be on a lot of people's top 10 or fives or whatever.
All right. This is about a small town pizzeria owner and poet. Inherits $40 billion from his deceased uncle.
Big Daddy. Or not Big Daddy. Sam Sandler.
It is Adam Sandler.
Yeah, that's not, what is the name of
it? First name Longfellow.
Yeah, Mr. Deeds.
Mr. Deeds.
There we go.
2002.
Damn. You know, I've never seen that one.
Really?
Yeah,
Winona Ryder is in it.
Yeah, when
she was actually pretty funny in it.
Alan Covert, pretty good too, as his friend.
And I do like the TMZ reporters are trying to like throw dirt at him, and they re-edit like all the stuff he gets caught doing. Like he goes in and saves a lady from a burning fire
because he's a volunteer fireman in his little town.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he goes in and like saves her, and it's like, you gotta save my cats. And it's like, how many cats do you have?
Like 11. Holy shit.
Sorry.
Sorry.
But then he starts throwing the cats out to the like the other firefighters to catch them. They all get caught and stuff. But then they show on the TMZ thing, they show throw the cats out the window and they're just flat. Yeah, flat.
The director of that TMZ show, he was probably secretly one of the best characters. I hid for 3 days outside of Tom and Roseanne's house, dressed as a giant carton of ice cream in their dumpster.
It's what is his name? Who played the original Dumbledore? It's his kid that plays that character.
I think about it.
Richard Harris? Yes, Jared Harris.
Okay.
Jared Harris is the TMZ like guy.
And we have a budget $50 million and gross worldwide $171 million. So it did pretty well.
Indeed.
And Sandler has made a lot of money.
He's probably like bringing money in. He's probably has to be like in the high echelon of like actors for like how much they made. I'll just say the name Prince Akeem.
Oh, Coming to America.
Yeah, Coming to America.
I should have let Terry get that. That was one that he would have got.
Yeah, that was one of the only ones I'd get.
Phenomenal. Great movie.
It is. Fantastic movie. Samuel Jackson, like one of his first roles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, budget 30. And yeah, the big Mick. budget of $30 million. And gross worldwide, $288 million.
Really?
Did really well.
Wow. Nice. Fantastic movie. Just beginning to end. It's perfect.
That was when I watched
it. How much did Back to the Future tell me? Back to the Future.
Yeah, Back to the Future. Let me reference here. Sorry, I got a lot on here. Budget was estimated $19 million for Back to the Future. Gross worldwide, $384 million.
Okay.
We did the rough trains. Was it Back to the Future that we did?
Yeah.
It would have been like around like 800 some million today, off of like a roughly $60 million budget.
Wow.
Did really well.
Yeah. But Coming to America doing 288, that's pretty impressive for
an R-rated 1988. Yeah.
Yeah. It was an R-rated comedy, right?
Yeah. There's definitely boobies.
Yeah.
In that one, if you're of the appropriate age to be pretty impressed by that.
The
royal penis is clean.
Yeah. That's right.
It is.
Did anybody watch the sequel that came out recently?
I watched a little bit of it.
I kind of forgot to.
Yeah.
I think I heard it not being bad, but it just didn't grab me like the original.
Yeah. Paul Abdul was the dance choreographer for the thing at the beginning.
Really?
Like, yeah, it was before she became famous. Like she was like she did choreography for like some music videos, and then right after that she released her first album and became super successful.
And Arsenio Hall as his like, you know, like his concierge guardian he was great in that movie too. Him hating living in like filth and stuff is pretty hilarious. Ongoing and Coming to America. All right. This one, we'll see if you get. So Shep Ramsey is an interstellar hero. Righting wrongs, etc. His ship is damaged after a fight with an interstellar nasty, and he must hide out on Earth until it can recharge. He leaves his power suit at home, but still finds himself unable to allow wrongs to go unrighted. And so mixes it up with bad drivers, offensive paperboys, muggers, and the like. Then the family, with which he is staying and renting an apartment, I'll add, finds his power suit and the father tries it on. Let me give you some of the actors. We first have...
You can't say the star, right?
I won't say the main star. Christopher Lloyd, Shelley Duvall, and Hulk Hogan. This is Suburban Commando from 1991.
Okay, I was never, ever going to get that. I've not seen the movie. I don't even know if I've heard of it.
Really?
This is the one that I said
a lot when I was a kid. Yeah,
I watched this one a lot.
Yeah, so I can't say it's a bad movie because I've probably seen it a good 20 times.
This came out after No Holds Barred.
So I was Hulk frozen Hogan was, today.
He was at his peak at this point.
All right. Well, I mean, you know, I love the description. I'll give it that. So,
and it's Christopher Lloyd. I mean, as the dad.
He is pretty funny.
Yeah.
The trivia, though, for this one is the best trivia I've found for quite a while. Originally, this was going to be titled Urban Commando and was intended for Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Really? Wow.
Oh, the twins lineup.
Yeah, Danny DeVito was going to play the dad, which was Christopher Lloyd's character, and Arnold Schwarzenegger, of course, be Shep Ramsey. But it says when these two opted to make twins, the script was bought by New Line Cinema, and they changed it to star Hulk Hogan and Suburban Commando.
New Line Cinema in the 90s was amazing. They did Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, TMNT 2, Suburban Commando, Lord of the Rings.
They made that's a iconic little movie jingle.
And if they didn't do Friday the 13th, or no,
Nightmare on Elm Street,
they would not be a studio.
No, that's A Nightmare on Elm Street started that studio.
Okay. I mean, I guess that was the start of like low budget horror. You could make a whole lot of money on a low budget horror movie.
So it's the studio that Freddy built is kind of like their tagline.
Do I do number one?
I thought that was your number one.
No, it was number two.
Okay.
Number one is a 5-star movie. An alien couple known as Beldar and Primat with cone-shaped heads from the planet called Remulac is ditched on Earth. This is Coneheads.
I was going to say, you stumped me. I have no idea.
without a doubt the best fish out of water movie ever made. Yeah.
I figured it would be on Tom's list, so I didn't put it in my top five, but it's a fantastic movie.
Number one. 5 stars.
And like I said, I'm not as big a fan as Tom.
I don't think anyone's as big a fan as Tom is.
Jerry was up there with me.
Jerry liked it more than Tom, I think, as he was probably more upset with me. It's like, how can you only give it 4.5 stars? We talk about this movie all the time.
This is the definition of a 5-star film.
Well, Tom, I got to be honest, your list didn't hurt me that much. Like the ones that I knew, I totally got, but there's a few that I didn't know. So
the runners up, I had a lot on there, but I had to be honest, be like, good white chick. So after watching Suburban Commando, I'm like, Suburban Commando was clearly a better movie, which is saying something.
All right, Terry,
I can go. My list is really easy and probably really predictable. So I'll just go through it pretty quickly.
Your number two, Suburban Commando 2.
Yeah, definitely. Now, again, like these, like I didn't have to research anything. These were obviously the fish out of water movies to me. Number five, I have Hot Fuzz, which, yeah. I mean, if anyone out there hasn't seen it, this is kind of an underappreciated Simon Pegg teaming up with what's his name?
Nick Frost.
Nick,
right. With the everlasting Point Break references throughout that movie. Yeah. What if I had two guns twist jumping through the air?
Anyway, great fish out of water movie. Number four, I have Trading Places, which arguably is kind of a twofer fish out of water story. Yeah. The rich guy goes to the slums, the bum goes to the rich people. And yeah, hilarity ensues. That movie will never not make me laugh. Just like my number three, which is The Jerk, which, I mean, the whole world arguably is him being out of water.
That's true.
Raising poor black boy.
There's a lot of humor in that where you got to wonder, like, would he have gotten away with it now? But I don't know.
No,
you don't think so?
No, he would not have gotten away.
You have to be talking to
him. I'm just going to say no.
But still a fantastic movie. At number two, really my number two and number one are kind of tied. They're both fantastic fish out of water comedies. But at number two, I have Elf.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That was one that I knew was probably be represented, so I moved it off.
Yeah, you didn't need to because you knew Chad and I would have that covered. It's one of the ultimate fish out of water movies. And at number one, I mean, this isn't just a favorite fish out of water movie. This is just one of my favorite movies, My Cousin Vinny.
Number one, My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. I had no idea you liked it that much.
Yeah, I love that movie.
I would have guessed really you as being a My Cousin Vinny guy.
I love that movie. Yeah.
I'm a lawyer. That's what we call as lawyers.
No, that movie works from beginning to end. And interestingly enough, is also so accurate as far as, like, you know, trial procedure and stuff goes, that they use it in law school to show like how things actually work. So
Okay.
I'm gonna go with Kicking Your Ass and Taking 200.
Oh, a proposal. Allow me to make a counter proposal.
And for a young man, Marissa Tomei was a mesmerizing.
Oh yeah. I mean, she took the Academy Award for that, right?
Everybody said that was by mistake.
Oh, no, she earned that shit. That was an amazing performance. I don't remember who she was up against, but...
It's what, 1992? Let me...
Someone would have to go look that up. It's not worth it. Her performance was great.
See, I have a couple that are repeats. I feel kind of bad. Me and Terry agreed on something.
Okay, so you can always audible in.
I mean, I'll just go through my runners up. So
okay, and then I got my
number five for me is The Man Who Knew Too Little.
All right,
I love this movie; it's so good. Number four, Idiocracy.
Okay. Yep. Definitely a fish out of water movie.
Yeah. In my mind, first I'm like, huh? But yes, he's from a different time.
Fish out of water. Yep. Great movie.
It's like the opposite where they're the better person in their fish out, as opposed to being unequipped maybe for doing it.
Number three, I have Hot Fuzz, which Terry already mentioned. Great movie. And then number two, Trading Places. Also fantastic. Okay. Dan Aykroyd, Eddie Murphy. And it was like, Trading Places are coming to America. That was kind of, it's like.
What was the name he changed to for running to be the same as the person that died?
Which one?
For Eddie Murphy. Wasn't there? I'm confusing a different Eddie Murphy movie. Where he was running for
Distinguished Gentleman.
Yes, that's all right.
Okay. Yeah.
Never mind.
And then my number one, Back to the Future, starring Michael J. Fox.
That's great. Yeah. Wow. That's all my runners up.
Yeah.
I guess I wasn't. Yeah. I don't often think of that as a fish out of water movie, but it totally is. He goes to the 50s or whenever he goes. Yeah. Well, it's the 50s. Pretty much, right?
Pretty much any time travel movie is a fish out of water.
Yeah.
Or H2O is a time machine. Morlocks.
Yeah.
But I mean,
he doesn't want to be eaten.
He doesn't want to eat the little fairy people. No.
Here's the thing about this genre, though, or it's not even a genre, it's really just a story technique. Is, I mean, it includes so much material. That's why I didn't have to research on this. It's just there are some that just immediately pop to mind. But that also means that you could ask 100 different people, I think, for lists of their favorite fish out of water stories, and you'd get 100 different lists because there's just so many of them out there.
That makes it an interesting top five there's kind of some variety.
All right. Nobody picked Crocodile Dundee.
That's on the runners up. Terry was Don't Mess with the Zohan on your runners up list as well.
I have no runners up list. I put down my five and that was that.
All right. I'll go through mine real quick. Then we'll get to Tom's 20 year list here.
So some of these are overlaps.
I had Blast from the Past as runner up. Big, Tom Hanks.
Oh yeah.
Runners up. Mm-hmm. Brendan Fraser again. Encino Man.
Yeah. Squeezing the Nooch.
Yeah.
His cave. No.
My Cousin Vinny was on it. And Elf also, Coming to America. Happy Gilmore.
Hockey player in a golf game. Yeah.
Yes. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Kindergarten Cop.
Oh, that's actually kind of a mess. That is a great fish out of water story.
Jack Lemmon.
Your daddy and what does he do? Sorry?
The Out of Towners starring Jack Lemmon.
That's an excellent
movie, I think. It's like a small town. They're going to New York for the first time. It's a classic. Coneheads, runners up.
It's and down then, there with the 4.5-star movies, Chan, that runners up list.
Yeah, sorry. And then Chicken Run.
Oh, yeah, animated, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The Aardman Studios Claymation is a good one. I love that movie.
Oh, yeah, no. I love everything Aardman Studios does, though. I mean, they're just awesome. I've yet to see one and go, oh, well, that sucked.
the Pirates one, was it Pirates Band of Misfits?
Oh, I don't know if I've seen that.
I haven't heard of this one.
Oh, it was good. It got a lot of crap because they had, the trailer had a leper boat. And they were like going and attacking
people with leprosy.
Yeah, leprosy. Okay. It's like,
were bits falling off? Is that what people mad? Okay. Yeah.
They released this trailer and it's like Claymation. This is a leper boat. Oh.
Oh, it's so bad about that. I mean, you can't do lepers now?
Yeah, you can't make fun of leprosy.
You can't make fun of leprosy anymore.
But
well,
yeah, I had to remove the trailer and remove the whole bit from the movie.
They removed it from the movie?
Yeah.
Holy shit. I had no idea that, the leper population had that kind of pull.
They do.
Holy balls.
Yeah.
Just falling all over each other to get that out.
I mean, it sounds like they really lost their head over it. How many leper jokes will we have to make to get canceled, guys?
All right. We, Black Knight. We had to get moved on to the runners up.
Yeah. That's I honestly thought that was going to be in your top five. Because we've talked about Black Knight so many times.
I mean, it was on there originally, but as I was doing more research, it fell off. A budget of $50 million estimated, gross worldwide $39 million.
In a movie theater in Davenport, Iowa.
That's the right place to see
it. First and only time that's.
But bringing it back is White Chicks in 2004, budget $37 million estimated, world gross worldwide $113 million.
Oh my god!
So White Chicks was a financial success, Chad. There you go.
It was. It's unfortunate.
I was offended by them doing white face. I just want to throw that out there.
Well, I mean, the whole point was like they're supposed to be super attractive after they put on the white face.
Terry Crews thought they were pretty attractive. Yeah, Chad.
I could not get past because, like, every except for the kids that look up their skirts.
Terry Crews, oh god, he was without a doubt the best part of that movie. I don't want you to melt white chocolate.
Terry Crews was actually very funny.
Him when he takes whatever the ecstasy and he's out there shirtless doing like doing his rave. Lip syncing in the car. He was just great in that movie. Oh, we were talking about kind of big movies making big money. Crocodile Dundee,
as we mentioned. Yeah, it made a ton of money.
Budget estimated $8.8 million. Gross worldwide $328 million.
Holy balls. Yeah, I remember that being a phenomenon when we were kids. Like, Crocodile Dundee was everywhere. And then they made sequel, and I think it went away.
They made a sequel that part two is actually just fine. It's a.
And what three? What was the third one? New York?
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, thank you. Yeah. That one wasn't great.
No.
He was looking a little old in that one. Sister Act, I enjoyed. Miss Congeniality, I think, is a pretty good fish out of water.
I kind of thought that was going to be in your top five.
Pretty close.
I know that you're Sandra Bullock.
Yeah. Spy with Melissa McCarthy.
Great movie.
I really wanted to get that one on there. It was so tough. I was surprised none of us put Austin Powers. I'm not sure. Yeah. Did we all just guess somebody else would put it? So we didn't put it on there?
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, I think it's just a miss for me. I'd probably put that on over Idiocracy.
Mike Myers just does a phenomenal job.
Oh my God. Fantastic movie, but I don't know that it would have made my top five.
That would be in my top five.
Demolition Man.
Oh my god,
that is a fish out of water.
That's best. There's Hot Fuzz out. Put Demolition Man.
Like Terry's twofer. Here we got a twofer again. How about Jungle to Jungle?
Is that the Tim Allen?
That is the Tim Allen movie.
Yeah, where his kid.
Let me read you the synopsis, Chad. It happens to be on this page. Michael Cromwell is a successful, albeit self-absorbed, commodities broker. It does show some pretty cool, like, early internet technology, though. I'll give you this. Who wants to marry his new girlfriend, Charlotte, but to do so, he has to divorce his wife, Patricia, who has spent several years living among South American Indians. When he travels there to obtain the divorce papers, he discovers that his teenage son, named Mimi Suku, who accompanied him back to America to learn the ways of the urban jungle. Tim Allen, I enjoyed that movie.
Yeah, this doesn't sound racist and problematic at all.
Mimu Kiku was right. Just to let you know. This is a friend of the movie I watched more times than I'd like to admit is House Guest with Sinbad.
That's Phil Hartman, right?
Phil Hartman, yes. Yeah. Kevin Franklin is a con man whose mouth is bigger than him, but it doesn't help him much when he's into the mob for $50,000. Trying to avoid a gambling addict boss and his two henchmen, he poses as basically a dentist to Phil Hartman, who is like a childhood friend and is a great fish out of water film.
A trailer on some VHS, so I saw the trailer like 100 times. So
I saw this movie probably 100 times. Let me see, Chad, to give you a hint. This one has a genie's lamp, a professional basketball player. Cost $20 million to make, made an estimated gross worldwide of 18.
Shazam!
Kazam.
Oh, yeah.
Shazam is the superhero. This is Kazam.
Yeah. Kazam.
Last one that I'll put on here, we have Three Amigos.
Oh, God. I would actually count that as a miss. I'm not sure what I would bump off my top five, but that is top five material right there.
I told you I spent a lot of time on this. This was my favorite list we've done for quite a while.
There's a meme of the Three Amigos that people, like, guys on the internet put for Cinco de Mayo.
Oh no.
Hold on. Here we go. 155 years ago today, three brave American students defeated El Guapo at the Battle of Santo Poco to give Mexico its independence.
If we took movies, I think that Jerry quoted maybe more than almost any other, Three Amigos have you up there with El Guapo.
Yeah.
Would you say I have a plethora? Oh, yes.
Yes, Efe. Yes,
yes, you have a plethora.
I think it's a mail plane. You can tell by its little balls.
Yeah.
Chevy Chase's reaction.
It's a pretty killer cast.
It's amazing. Again, that's the
movie, though. He was fantastic.
That's another in the whole, what I would call the cabin boy category of films. It's just, it's fucking brilliant, and the world just doesn't appreciate it.
Them killing the invisible gunman.
This happens, you're El Guapo. Happens to be the actual El Guapo.
We all have an El Guapo, but it just happens your El Guapo is the actual El Guapo.
It's a big, scary man who wants to kill us.
I love the bartender that at the beginning.
Oh,
my little buttercups. smile. Oh man,
that was another one that I could have had top 20.
All right, well, clearly Tom very much enjoyed today's list.
Yes, I did. Yeah,
it was good. I like this one. And all the movies were like pretty
memorable. I mean, I have to admit, Tom brought a lot to the table that I have just never seen. But now I've got some movies to go check out. So
you've seen Demolition Man.
Oh God, yeah.
I would say
if I had to pick one of the crappy ones I have on here, that would have to be Houseguest with Sinbad. I think is actually a pretty good movie.
Okay.
You said Suburban Commando is on Tubi, right?
Yep, that's where I watched.
Okay.
So I was searching, saw them, like, oh, this is ringing bells.
Yeah, it's been so long. I'm actually going to go watch that because.
You know, what I absolutely love, though, Tom, is when you enjoy something, you really enjoy it. It is very earnest and very heartfelt. Like the excitement, I wish people could see you. Like it just fills your face. You really enjoy these movies.
Almost as much as I hate Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Which is true. I can see the life drain out of your face when you mention that.
Oh my God.
Did you like Dial of Destiny? I really enjoyed it.
I'm watching it.
You haven't seen Dial of Destiny?
I hate Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and
this one completely ignores that it was ever existed.
I can't imagine.
I have to be honest, I haven't watched it yet either. So
I saw a clip of Youngin, like when he's de-aged him, and they keep his Harrison Ford's voice. So you see this young guy.
Yeah, he's young, but he's a 3-pack-a-day smoker. I mean,
I think it was well done, where it didn't jump out as being really weird, and it was a fairly short amount of time that he de-aged.
But. And the de-aging thing, still, Martin Scorsese had the worst use of it in any movie when he had Robert De Niro de-aged and beating somebody up, but he had De Niro do the movements.
It's like Dolph Lundgren.
This young looking guy like trying to kick somebody on the ground, but it's like watching my dad trying to put his shoes on.
Yeah, like my dad has special shoes with that like crinkle on the back so he can get his foot in.
All right. Hopefully our parents do not listen to this podcast.
No, they do not. Hopefully. What kind of kids did I raise?
I mean, honestly, do they know what podcasts are?
No.
Like, well, let's just start there.
Yeah. What are you doing tonight? Oh, I'm going to go. Tom's, we're going to do the podcast. Oh, that's nice.
You shouldn't do drugs, Chad.
Now, do you shoot the podcast or do you freebase the podcast?
I break it down with some ass, like some lie, and then yeah, all balance right. the pH.
Speaking of which, Better Off Dead would be a good movie. We should review sometime.
That well, yeah, we still yeah. I've told the stories of imitating a creating a fake video store in order to buy that film.
Oh, so good. But next episode, though, we're doing a low budget, very low budget B horror movie called Munchies. So Tom, let me
Tom bring has that seen up. It. Chad and I have not.
No, so we have not.
That was a big part of the discussion. It's like, well, we haven't seen this.
I described it as being a BB knockoff of Gremlins, because Chad had mentioned Ghoulies, which also was in the James. But I would say this is a more direct knockoff of Gremlins.
Yeah. Right.
So Munchies, released in 1987, comedy, fantasy, horror is the genre. When an archaeologist finds a strange beast in a Peruvian cave, he takes him home unprepared for the ensuing chaos as the beast starts to multiply. So that is the exact same as Gremlins, but you know.
Well, the dude buys them in Gremlins, you know, from.
But they're from what? I think they were described as like a Chinese monster. I can't remember.
Yeah, like I think it was in.
Well, yeah, he buys the Gremlin from a Chinese stereotype.
Yeah, I was just trying to remember if they said where it came from. I have not watched Gremlins recently enough to remember.
I don't think they do. I think it's just a, you know.
A curiosity. I assume
Gremlins come from China.
It's still the opium. That's a cat.
Gremlins.
That's a weasel. You're petting a weasel.
Yeah, that was not a microdose.
Do they ever say the name Gremlin in the movie Gremlins? I don't think they do.
Yeah, I think Mowgli.
Kind of white trash angry neighbor talks about how the Asians are putting gremlins in our cars and in our watches and in our, you know, that's the only time gremlins are mentioned.
Wow. I'm going to have to rewatch that.
Let's make that the title.
Okay. Our top five B horror movies, low budget B horror movies is what we're going with.
Use your best judgment.
Yeah. It's as Tom put it, it's a smell test. Does it smell like it's too big a budget to be in this? Then you shouldn't include it.
I will attempt to limit my runners up list on this one. You thought I got a lot of fish out of water movies. We're going to my home turf.
See, I love low budget horror. So.
I would say I did not hear you say theatrical release. Okay. You said movie.
No, it just has to be a movie. It does not have to have been in a theater.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, totally valid.
So, no Academy Award winners.
It's low budget.
Honestly, the reason you can't limit it to theatrical releases is that B-grade horror that was straight to video is an entire category of movie. I mean,
prime tickets.
Yeah, you can't. You got to include the straight to video market.
Yeah. But what were we talking about? Next episode.
Oh yeah,
June of 2024. We'll have the summer movie season will be full swing. So I think Deadpool comes out in June, but I'm not positive.
That might be the first or maybe second movie of the year that I see in the theater. Will be that one.
That'll be the first one I see in the theater, I think. Unless Chad texts me and says Furiosa is. You got to see it in the theater.
I'm probably going to go see Furiosa on Thursday night if you want to go.
I can't, but let me know if it's a must see in the theater event. If it's like Fury Road, then yes, it's a must see in the theater. But if it's not Fury Road level, it might be a must see in my living room experience. You know.
Okay. What was the last movie you saw in the theater?
It's been a while. Probably Oppenheimer. Yeah.
Okay.
I just, for one thing, I'm poor. And then also, it's hard to find the time to get the fuck out to a theater. Like, I watch most movies after midnight. Wait,
you saw the Paul Giamatti one.
Oh, yeah. I went and saw The Holdovers.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I'll say Sideways.
That was a long time ago.
No, The Holdovers was good. In fact, I want to see it again because I feel like there's probably some things that I missed in the first viewing, but
I actually didn't see the last 2 minutes of the movie because the power went out in the theater.
Oh, fucking hell.
You didn't see the twist ending.
Did you get your money back? Like, did...
Huh? No, I mean, it glitched and they were rebooting it. And I was sitting next to the worst lady ever in the theater. She talked through the entire movie.
You bought mom again?
No, mom doesn't talk.
No, I'm kidding. It was a joke.
But yeah, her and her husband just, they're chatterboxes. And
talking through the holdovers, though, that's not an... I mean, there are some movies where, okay, I wouldn't care that much. But, I mean, you know, don't do that over the art films, you know?
Yeah, but I will say the primary theater that I go to is across the street from, like, a senior housing. Okay.
Casablanca again.
So, usually if you go see, like an action movie, there's not too many old people, but if you go see The Holdovers, it's kind of marketed to an older audience.
You're a passion theater.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You go and you're in the theater and a sold out show at 2 o'clock on a Tuesday.
Theater is packed.
That is amazing.
Like, yeah. So I'm not sure how many theaters got sold out at 2 o'clock on a Tuesday for The Holdovers, but I was in one of them.
Well, I can say I saw The Holdovers, I believe, on a Friday night, like the whatever 7 o'clock showing or whatever. And I was one of three people in the theater. So
very nice.
Yeah, it was great. I had the whole place.
Have either of you ever been in a theater completely by yourself?
Oh yeah.
I have.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fire in the Sky.
That's
actually a pretty good movie.
Mm-hmm.
It actually makes it extra scary, actually, when you're the only person in the theater. It's like, I'm kind of freaked out.
Scream 4, I was completely alone. Dread, it was just me and you.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was a great movie.
Yeah, fantastic movie.
I started acting like it was in slow-mo, just make Chad think he had slow-mo.
The most impressive one, though, is Speed Racer in IMAX.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like,
what is the best seat in an IMAX?
It's dead center.
Dead center. Okay.
I mean, this is when IMAX was like brand new. Like, they usually didn't release movies. So I had to drive to St. Michael to see it in IMAX. And I like Speed Racer. I thought it was good, but I was the only person in the theater. I was like, oh shit, this movie is going to bomb.
I'm gonna stretch out here.
Now, if you're the only person in the theater, I think they should allow you to pause it to go to the bathroom and stuff.
Yeah, like, that'd be nice. Yeah.
I mean, especially since...
Just pee in a cup. I mean, at that point, just
it's the only one in there. It's all digital projection now. Just pause the movie so I can run to the bathroom. That seems...
Yeah, there's one remote that you can use if you're the only person in there.
Yeah, you buy your ticket, they hand you the remote saying, have at it. You know, skip the previews. It doesn't matter. Do whatever you want.
Once in a lifetime, sir.
But yeah, I'd say maybe there's been quite a few times where it's like one or two other people. Midnight showing of Lincoln was me and another guy. The funny story about that was Lincoln, it was a Christmas movie, so it came out the same weekend as Twilight, the sequel to Twilight. So going into the movie, the theater was packed. Like, everybody was there to see Twilight, and then Lincoln had its one screen. And I go in, I'm, you know, mid-30s at that point, I don't remember. And it's just nothing but, like, teenage girls in there. It's like, this guy's fucking crazy.
We got some extra candy. Anybody want some extra candy?
Luckily, the guy at the concession stand knew who I was, so I actually got to just go around and grab my pop and popcorn.
Oh, nice.
My movie. It's like, are you here at Twilight? It's like, no, I'm kind of like...
I'm going to go see Daniel Day-Lewis.
When White Bear was awesome was when it was before they started doing Thursday preview showings at 7 o'clock, and some theaters would just do a midnight showing no matter what. And White Bear was one of them. And so every new movie, no matter what, like what kind of movie it was. So Lincoln, they always did midnight showing, and the guy knew me. So he'd always have my popcorn and pop ready when I was, 'cause he'd see me pull up and I'd just walk in and
Man, that is first class right there.
VIP, very important pounds, yeah.
Yeah, so it was when I was living with you and they were doing that. So I probably annoyed Tom and Holly because I would get home at about 3 in the morning.
No, we have an infant, we're in a coma.
Yeah, there's the garage door. Chance is getting home.
I don't give a shit. Your turn. Good.
Yeah, it was nice. I'd close the store at 11, make something to eat, then go see my movie and have my popcorn pop.
Yeah, we're basically like sitting in what you had like set up was like a living room. You had like your bookshelf kind of here, remember, like separating it?
Mm-hmm. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's we can probably wrap this up. Okay. So next episode should be out in a few weeks. We're doing June 2024 trailers and top 5 low budget B horror movies. So it's got to be a horror movie.
I'm starting now because it's going to take me forever.
Yeah, no, this one's, I mean, I'm really going to have to think on this because it's a long list of contenders. But
it's going to be hard to research this one.
Right. So I really got to figure out like what my 5 are, because that's really what it should be. These aren't like with any of these lists. It's not what is objectively the best. It's what's the best to you. So what are my top 5? So got to think about that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I doubt that there might be one or two low budget. Like I'd say Evil Dead might, you know, or Evil Dead 2 might make a list or two.
Oh, I mean, those are
classic.
Or, beat, low, yeah.
We might as well call this like, what is your other top 4?
So that's it for today's episode. We're going to talk about some trashy horror movies next time. Should be fun.
Trashy movies found down by the docks.
Bye, everyone.